it started in here.
Well, I guess it would be nice to hear what's in the news today. What will John Andrew have to say? And of course Sam too. I don't have to think twice when Sam's top five is on the way. No better way to start the day. Gotta find out what's going on. The state is run by fools.
Before I get up to start my morning, before the cup of coffee starts to pour, oh, I know I'll be caught up. Don't need no warning. Well, I take those other morning shows, show them to the door.
Time for Justice Andrew. Time for Justice Andrew. Time for Justice Andrew. True, true. Oh yeah, and of course Sam too.
Then I look at you, and the world's alright with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Wednesday, September 16th, 2020, and this is Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there is John Justice.
What a world, man.
What a crazy, weird... Upside down...
What a world. I was telling...
our world we live in right now.
I was telling Drew, Sam, that I had to stop by an ATM machine on the way in, and so... I went to the, there's a drive-through one right next door here in St. Louis Park.
Yeah, tell everybody where it is.
You know, right here. What? why?
Because I know why you were, why you're telling this story.
Oh, there's drive-through banks all over St. Louis Park. It's okay. Don't give the address.
Yeah, at approximately 4:48 a.m.
Yeah, I think it's
normally the time when I would get there.
Yeah, I think it's Associate Bank, right? I think that's what it's called. I think it's right there, right off the freeway. It's the first and probably only time I'll ever go there. But just the world that we live in, I had to stop and get some cash, so I swung in and I pull up to the drive up, you know, ATM machine, and I'm not kidding. I just stopped and I went. I suddenly felt unsafe. I was like, should I be looking around? Like, I had the music going, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to turn the music down just so I can hear anybody creeping up, you know?
Because like, everybody's sitting, you know, everybody at 4 a.m., all the riffraff are sitting there.
No, now, right? With all the crime that's going on right now, I mean, this is just, it sucks that this is the world we live in where there's nobody around, but I'm pulling up to a drive-up ATM machine in the comfort of my car, and I'm actually legitimately looking around in case somebody's going to come up and try to take my cash.
When you really stop and take a moment to think about it, you know that the chances of something happening in
that
instance are very slim.
Incredibly slim.
If you pay attention to the news, specifically the news in and around the Twin Cities, that is a absolutely rational reaction.
Yeah.
Based on what's been going on in the Twin Cities now for the last several months, especially yesterday when Arredondo was getting grilled by the city council. Well, why are you letting all this gun violence happen? What are you doing about all the murders? Like, screw you guys.
Seriously.
I came to you and asked for 400 cops and you gave me like 8.
It is mind boggling. They are so out of their element. They are not individuals that should be serving in any leadership position. And that whole line of thinking that they're not leaders, they're activists is 100% true. Mm-hmm. Because that's how activists perceive things. They have a fundamental lack of understanding of how the actual real world works.
They have no interest in actually governing.
Nope.
They have no interest in actually running a city or running a county or running, you know, actually doing the job and doing the work and making sure that vital services are met. They don't care about that at all. They just want their end goal, whatever it is, and it doesn't matter how they get there.
We're going to be getting into that quite a bit, what I've labeled on the show sheet today as the violent collapse of downtown Minneapolis. That'll happen at 7:35 this morning. We will have some fun, though. Comedian Tim Slagle, Crash and Burns, happening at Acme Comedy Company.
Yeah,
he's going to be joining us in studio at 8:35 this morning. Got permission to have the man himself in the flesh.
I'm very excited by that. It's great to see Tim. Nice to have him back in town. Crash and Burn Week at Acme Comedy Company. If you're a fan of comedy, stand-up comedy, this is one of those weeks. They do it every single year. This is one of those weeks where you really want to make some time and try to get down there and see this show.
British commentator and provocateur. So she's a British provocateur. She's like the British Jesse Kelly. Katie Hopkins should be calling in right around 7:50.
Like the British Jesse Kelly. I wonder how tall she is.
7:55 this morning. Well, the video you showed me, she seemed tallish. She's going to be calling in right around 7:55. She will be
5'7".
She's okay. Well, you know, for women, for
average size provocateur.
Yeah, but for women's sizes, that's, you know, if you comparatively speaking, that's Jesse Kelly size for women's sizes. That's just, you know, average women's size. Sure. Sure, why not?
Yeah. It's still like 3 Zerwas.
That's true. That's true.
Well, it's like 4.5 at least, at minimum.
She is going to be, there'll be a forum with her at the Man Cinema in Hopkins, which caused me a lot of confusion, Sam, because her name's Katie Hopkins and she's going to be in Hopkins, and I was very confused.
Is this a typo? I would have wondered if that was a typo.
I actually asked Drew that very thing.
What are the odds?
Yeah. This is very convenient.
These are the things that confuse John.
Yeah, I know. It'll be like, you know, John Justice will be speaking in Justice Town. It's like, that's what's odd.
There's a Justice Town, yes. That would be odd.
I don't know. Justice Town sounds pretty nice.
A librarian named Bookman. You know, I just... Also... Any more coffee?
Yeah.
CD2 candidate Taylor Kistner should be calling in right around 7:20 this morning.
Should be a lot of fun. Sam, have you scoured the internet?
I have.
Have you compiled the top 5 stories our listeners need to know?
Maybe.
Let's jump into it next.
Here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Remember, you can listen to the show on your smart speakers at home. You can catch up, post-show podcasts and show podcasts on the iHeart Radio app. And lastly, it is your last week to get your Justice and Drew t-shirts from the website. So go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, click the link on the homepage, or hit the keyword shop and pick up yours before they're gone forever.
Yeah, on Friday, they're gonna go off the market on Friday. Limited edition. So that means they're going to be worth something someday.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were going to be limited edition.
I didn't either. So
it was a surprise.
So get your stock up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in about 5 years, you're going to sell those on eBay.
They really are comfy shirts, by the way. I put mine on and I went to Melinda. Not even joking. I went up. I said, I like the cut of this shirt. Check the tag. To which she did, because I want to buy more because I enjoy the cut of the shirt. They really are super nice.
Well, you got till Friday.
You feel better about yourself when you wear them.
I do, because it's got my name on.
Yeah. then there's that.
I mean, that you know, that, yeah. That won't apply to everybody.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. It's true, actually.
Let's jump into Sam's top 5 for a Wednesday.
Number 1.
A study is hinting that COVID-19 may have been in the U.S. as early as December.
Oh, you know, yeah. We've been, what have we been saying since March? Please continue.
Yes, of course. From KKOH, researchers believe that they have found evidence that the coronavirus may have been circulating in the U.S. as early as late December, which was about a month before the current timeline from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control.
What did he do? He's too busy taking Adderall.
too busy playing golf. This study, published last Thursday in the Journal of Medical Internet Research, found a statistically significant uptick in clinic and hospital visits by patients who reported respiratory illnesses as early as the week of December 22nd.
Can we stop just real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Journal of Medical Internet Research, which is like it's like a fancy way of saying like what I do.
When
I feel like I've got something wrong, I go to the internet. It's Medical Internet Research. It's WebMD. I know it's probably more comprehensive.
I certainly hope so. I will assume that it's more than just going to WebMD.
A bunch of doctors around. Well, yes, we get all our information from the net.
The researchers noted this trend within the Journal of Medical Internet Research by looking through nearly 10 million medical records from the UCLA health system, including 3 hospitals and 180 clinics. Dr. Joanne Elmore, who worked on the new study, said that she started looking through the records after receiving a number of emails from anxious patients in March through her clinic's patient portal at UCLA. Her and her colleagues noticed the spike in respiratory cases by searching the field in medical records that lists why someone came to the clinic and searched for the symptom cough. They looked at the records for the month of December 2019 through February 2020 and compared their findings to records from the 5 prior years. And that doctor is quoted in the story saying, with the outpatients, I found a 50% increase in the percentage of patients coming in and complaining of a cough. It came out to over 1,000 extra patients above the average of what we would typically see.
Now, getting to my own internet research, I remember early on when, for the first few weeks of the shutdown, we'd done, you know, quite a bit of just digging around, and I'd gone into the Minnesota health department's websites and was pulling up the flu tallies for the year, and they were up. And we talked about this at the time, about the potential of this happening. Look, if you would like an idea of perhaps why all the models were wrong, this could be it. It also goes to show that if this is the case, that would throw every single model that could have possibly been created completely out of whack if it's been circulating within the community for as long as it has. And guess what? We irrationally and ignorantly destroyed jobs, businesses, and crashed the economy for something that we just had little knowledge of, that we should have been handed to the American public to deal with on their own.
Yep, the thing that bothers me, the thing that frustrates me, is we'll never know. Yeah. We'll never know if all of these draconian lockdowns were really truly effective, because we don't have anything to really compare it to.
Yeah,
right. And when you compare it to areas, geographic areas, other countries, even other states that didn't do the same sort of lockdowns that we did here in Minnesota and in other parts of the country, and you look at where they are now, you look at their curves and their graphs, they're all remarkably similar, with just, you know, a few variations, probably statistically insignificant variations of where we are now, where we've been, you know, when the peak was, what the peak looked like, you know, just slight shifts in time frames more than anything else, which again sort of takes me back to the idea of this virus was going to do what it was going to do.
We actually had, I still am of the opinion, while I'll never support another lockdown again, I'm still very much of the opinion that in that opening month, we had the right, the idea was correct until it got politicized. And the idea was, right, when you looked at the graph, you either go peak and then we level off, or we try to flatten the curve and we prepare for it. That was the right idea. That at the time, initially it was, we're not going to be able to stop it. We're going to be years out from a vaccine. So let's make sure that we're all prepared and the hospitals are. And that's what we did. But then what happened? It got politicized instantly, and that whole idea, and you can just see what happened with Governor Tim Walz, just went whoop out the window.
The left dug their heels in.
Yeah,
they got a little bit of pushback of, wait a second, hold on, you want to do what? You want to close down what? You want to lock down what? Hold on. They got a little bit of pushback, and because it's political and because it's partisan, they had to dig their heels in and overreach, just like they always do.
Well, and one more quick point on that, to something that you've been tweeting about, Drew, as your example. If we're at a point now where suddenly inappropriate movies sexualizing adolescence becomes a left versus right issue, you have no basis of argument to tell me that COVID-19 wasn't politicized.
Of course it was.
I mean, that to me is like the best example, to where suddenly now, if you happen to be against pedophilia, for crying out loud, right, you're just a crazy QAnon conspiracy theorist.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's
That's
incredible.
What they do.
It's incredible.
More of Sam's Top 5 coming up.
Justice and Drew. It's me and you. What's up, buddy?
Hey, pal.
What's happening? Hey, Sam.
Hey.
Hello, friend.
What's up?
Working through Sam's Top 5 here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Number 2.
Trump hosted Israel, the UAE, and Bahrain for a historic signing.
No, yesterday. Sam, no, no, that's not what happened.
No,
a crowd gathered and didn't social distance.
That's the headline.
That's what happened.
That's the big takeaway from what happened at the White House yesterday was there were not enough masks and there was not enough social distancing.
From the Hill. President
Sam.
Trump presided over a historic ceremony.
Right, in which everybody died.
Nobody died.
It was this week's Sturgis.
It's a mini Sturgis.
We have identified 4 coronavirus cases stemming from the peace deal signing at the White House.
Sure, there might be peace in the Middle East, but how many people are going to have to get COVID to make that happen?
This historic ceremony saw Israel normalize relations with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, marking a diplomatic achievement for the incumbent president as he heads into the final weeks of his re-election campaign. But as these guys said, all anybody's focusing on are dumb things like COVID-19.
Well, I would say all anybody. All CNN seemed to focus on, all MSNBC seemed to focus on was the lack of social distancing or the lack of masks and all of that. They did everything they could to try to avoid the big headline. And when they couldn't avoid the big headline, which is historic, momentous, monumental agreements, normalization agreements between Israel and some Arab states. What they did focus on was CNN actually had an expert on going, well, they're calling this a peace deal, but Israel was not actually involved in any hostilities with Bahrain or the United Arab Emirates.
Oh my gosh. That,
I love your CNN expert voice.
That was the takeaway. That was, well, you know, they're not in an actual war, so I don't know if you want to call it a peace deal. You tools. You absolute useless tools.
Well, and it was hysterical because, Drew, you'd found this Kyle Mann on Twitter. There was a Babylon Bee headline.
Yeah.
CNN criticizes Israel Arab leaders for shaking hands in the middle of a pandemic, and yet CNN actually had a cry on that.
Eight minutes later, something like that. If you look at the timestamps on the tweets, they're like 8 or 9 minutes apart, where Babylon Bee tweeted out a satire headline, and boom, it became real within like 10 minutes.
Just.
Within 10 minutes, CNN, you know, lack of social distancing at the peace deal agreement.
Agreements are called the Abraham Accords, represent the first time an Arab country has normalized relations with Israel since Jordan did in 1994 and Egypt did in 1979.
So you got peace deals being done by President Donald Trump, and then you have, you know, you have walking shell of a man, Joe Biden, coming out.
Oh, wait till you hear the audio.
Playing Mexican music on his phone.
Oh my god!
And smiling about it. So, you know, hey, look at this, everybody. I've got songs that you like to listen to, and I'm playing them on my phone. If you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com on the Justice and Drew page, you can check out a couple of videos of Joe Biden falling apart. That is one of them. But it's just incredible, absolutely incredible.
Number 3.
A teen that was killed in Minneapolis in a shooting was an intern for a Republican congressional candidate, Lacey Johnson. From Fox 9, the story's really, really sad. A teenager who was shot and killed in North Minneapolis on Monday was an intern for Lacey Johnson's campaign. The 17-year-old was not doing campaign activities when the shooting happened. Lacey Johnson is challenging Representative Ilhan Omar in Minnesota's 5th congressional district in the November general election. According to a Minneapolis police spokesperson, Monday's shooting occurred at the intersection of Fremont Avenue North and Dowling Avenue North around 4:30 p.m. Two people were shot in
middle
the incident.
Of the day.
Yeah,
middle of the day.
Broad daylight.
And this is going on every single day.
Yep. The 17-year-old was transported to North Memorial Hospital in grave condition, but later passed away from their injuries after 5 p.m. The second victim was taken to Hennepin County Medical Center in serious but stable condition, and the suspects in the shooting fled prior to the arrival of police. No arrests have been made in the case.
You know, and what is there going to be any follow-up on this? Like, are we going to get more details as to why this happened, to motivations in all of this? I mean, I say that knowing that we're not, and that's the point. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this, it is happening, as Drew just mentioned, it's happening with such frequency that, you know, the news media is almost numb to it now. And I'm a little hesitant to give them too hard of a time, but
you talk about everything being you talk about everything being politicized, right? We were just talking about that earlier in the show, how everything gets politicized, how coronavirus and a pandemic was politicized early on. You know, it's gotten really bad when even indiscriminate, terrible violence that is taking innocent lives on a daily basis, even that gets politicized. And even that, you can't find elected leadership to come out and say, this is unacceptable. We will not tolerate this anymore, because they're more worried about the optics of actually cracking down and doing something about all of this violence and doing something about all of this unrest than they are about the innocent lives that are being destroyed and ruined and taken away from us far too early.
So was this in NCD5? Do we know for certain was it NCD5? Yes. Okay. Then Esme Murphy, I'm sure you're listening because we talk about you a lot, and I'm sure you want to hear what we have to say. Next time you have your girlfriend on the show, Representative Ilhan Omar, okay?
Spicy.
Next time you have her on the show, and you interview her, I want you to replay, and just do the prep for you. Replay Representative Ilhan Omar talking about the violence in America, mm-hmm. and how this is happening in Trump's America. Right. And then ask her about this, because that same argument applies. This happened in her district,
your district.
So if you want to go and say this is happening mm-hmm. on Trump's watch, then you know what, Representative Ilhan Omar, this happened on your watch in your district. What do you have to say?
Yep. Yep. This should not be tolerated. This should not be tolerated anymore. There's extortion happening in Minneapolis right now. People are having to pay money to gangs to get in and out of their own neighborhood. That's tolerated by our leadership in Minneapolis. Like, they know this is happening. They're being told this is happening, and it is tolerated. And they're blaming the very police that they refuse to staff, that they refuse to replace officers who are retiring, who are leaving because of PTSD, or who are leaving because they're simply tired of being abused by their own leadership.
It's so bad in Minneapolis, like, we don't even need... You know, like, we've made the joke about how, you know, why would any terrorists want to attack America right now, because we're doing it to ourselves, right? Well, it's gotten so bad in Minneapolis, like, you don't even need outside agitators like Antifa coming in and doing any harm, because, the people of Minneapolis are just doing it to themselves right now, because there's been a precedent set that happened going back to when the whole thing started. You can put this squarely on the shoulders of Minneapolis man, baby, mayor, Marxism sympathizer, Mayor Jacob Fry, and Governor Tim Walz. It's solely on their shoulders. For those three nights, they set the precedent of lawlessness in Minnesota.
We're going to spend some more time on this. There's a jaw-dropping story out of the Star Tribune about the council members grilling Arredondo. Like, why aren't you doing anything about this? We'll talk about that coming up around 7:35 this morning.
Number four.
The Minnesota State Fair Food Parade is returning for another round of drive-through fair treats from the Star Tribune. It is coming back for two long weekends in October, the 1st through the 4th and the 8th through the 11th. Vehicles can roll through the 1.5 miles of fairgrounds to pick up their classic fair treats from select vendors.
It was a huge hit.
It was a massive hit.
It was a huge success, and a much-needed one for a lot of these vendors who depend on this revenue to get them through the year. I'm glad to see it's coming back. Obviously, it was very popular.
Well, Tommy, to a point where, I know this isn't the case, I'm being silly, but, maybe the fair is just about the food.
I think for a lot of people, I know I'm being somewhat glib, but
I'm like, well, you found an alternative that kind of works, and I know there's a lot of other elements that go along with it. I'm not saying that, but
I do think it's fair to say that for a fair number of people, that's the number one thing that they look forward to, and that's the reason they go, and they can't wait to go and try all the silly, wacky fair foods and what crazy combinations they put together this year, and then get their standard favorites, that they get every year. Absolutely, it's like that for a lot of people.
Well, plus with all the businesses that have shut down or been burned down in Minneapolis, people got to get their food from somewhere.
Last time,
that's also fair.
all 19,000 tickets sold out in 2.5 hours. So if you want tickets to this thing, you better get to it.
Well, they're going to be doing a lottery this time.
Yeah, this time tickets will be sold by random lottery. You can register by noon by Thursday, September 17th, to be eligible to purchase tickets. Winners will be notified by 8 a.m. on Monday, September 21st. Each $20 vehicle ticket grants entry of one vehicle with up to 5 passengers. Food is not included in the price, and you get all your favorites. You've got the turkey to go stand, fresh french fries, cheese curds, pronto pups, Giggles Campfire Grill, Sweet Mother's cookies, and a bunch more.
I just want to I want to go down the road of sort of rational thought for just a moment, okay? So, think about this for a second. Couldn't let the fair happen, right? Couldn't do limited capacity. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have just people walking around in masks protecting themselves and, you know, maybe bringing in sponsors for hand sanitizers and all that and letting the food trucks and the businesses there decide how they want to handle all that. You couldn't do any of that, right? Because Rich couldn't decree that. So we couldn't have a fair. So instead, we do this drive-through, you know, to get your food. So what are we doing with the drive-through with food? We are gathering together, probably not all from the same family, into what? Into automobiles, which you cannot socially distance from, coming in contact with individuals on a window to the car, which you can't really socially distance from. So, just in all honesty, are things really all that much safer by doing the drive-through food than they could have been if you had just limited the capacity a little bit and had people out in the open, social distancing voluntarily? Right. It's, give me a break already. Yep. I mean, come on.
All they had to do was, and I know the fair didn't want to do this, and the fair said we're either going to do it, we're going to do the fair the way we always do the fair, or we're not going to do the fair at all, which I think was a mistake. You know, and that's on the fair. That's not on Tim Walz or anybody. I mean, the fair made that decision that they didn't want to do it with the social distancing and all of that. Now, they may not have had the option in the first place. It may have gotten shut down, but they did come out early and declare that. But absolutely, there's a huge outdoor event like the fair. If they put a percentage on the capacity and they put stickers on the ground and signs all over the place and had masks that they were handing to people as they were walking in or whatever, would have been absolutely safe.
I mean, the governor,
absolutely safe.
The governor put himself at risk by getting into his, you know, carbon spewing old 1979 truck, right? In a tight confined space, coming face to face with a bunch of, you know, individuals from out of town. I mean, give me a break. It's no more safer what they're doing with the drive-through food than it would have been to have the fair.
Number 5.
The Radisson Blue Minneapolis downtown location is going to cut 126 jobs due to COVID-19.
But I thought downtown was experiencing a resurgence.
Nope.
Deluxe came in, and they're bringing a bunch of jobs, right? Everything's great. Everything's fine. All these people talking about the collapse of downtown, they're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about.
From the Star Tribune. With the pandemic severely restricting travel, the Radisson Blue Minneapolis Downtown Hotel will lay off 126 workers beginning in November.
There's no E.
Okay, I'll give you this one.
I'll give you that one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
How do I say that, Drew?
Blue.
Bleh.
Yeah. Radisson Bleh.
This is the only time we're going to allow this. I have decreed.
In a September 8th letter, the Radisson Hotel Group Human Resources Director said that the Radisson Hotel Group is experiencing unforeseen financial consequences associated with the national COVID-19 crisis.
Well, I could have foreseen them.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Where did this come from?
It's been 6 months, guys.
Wacky. Who knew?
This is insane. And as such, they will permanently lay off 126 employees at the flagship downtown hotel that sits on South 7th Street between Nicollet Mall and Hennepin Avenue. Full-time non-union workers will receive severance pay, and some affected workers belong to the Unite Here Local 17 union and will have bumping rights, according to their collective bargaining agreement. That contract will let some workers retain their jobs. At the same time, a different worker gets displaced, and it's not yet known how many union employees may exercise bumping rights.
I have a sidebar hot take based off of something that Drew said at the start of that story. No, not about blah. I don't think that Deluxe ever makes it. It moves to downtown.
Well, no, because all their employees are going to quit because who wants to work downtown now?
I don't think it's going to happen. And here's your conspiracy theory. The judge didn't rule on letting the three of the officers off on the charges for fear of the rioting that would have taken place and thusly would have taken away their ability to announce that Deluxe was going to move downtown. Okay, that was a bit of a stretch. But you,
but you can
go ahead and pronounce it bleh.
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 Radisson bleh. Well, maybe those jobs will be backed by Christmas.
Okay, now you've,
you lost me.
Excellent job, Sam.
Now you've done it.
Thanks, I guess.
Done it.
Coming up, on the serious note, we're going to talk about how the 1960 riots, is a fantastic piece out of the Federalist, foreshadowed today's communist weaponizing and what we've seen taking place in the streets and the riots. Before we get to that, though, an interesting one that was making the rounds yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw, several stories were written about this. Trump has apparently declared the greatest music video of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I was ready to kind of push back, but he's got a point.
I mean, it's in the conversation. I think it's in the conversation. I've never really thought about it. Never really thought about like greatest music videos of all time. But if I actually sat down,
it's on the list.
Decided, okay, I'm gonna come up with Drew's list.
Yeah.
Of greatest music. I think that would be in the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that next.